Happy Thursday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for this replay of Sunday night's live call-in show. We call it the BOGP Open Line, where we open up the phone lines and talk to you. And of course, we always talk about the Disney news of the week. So Scott joined me and we talked about the initial pricing for Mears Connect, the replacement to Disney's Magical Express for 2022, and how that might be an upgrade from Magical Express for you on your trips here moving forward after this year. We also dive into the pricing structure for the Galactic Star Cruiser Star Wars experience adjacent to Batuu over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. We talk about a lot more topics that just pop up, even how the 50th celebration could have been a great opportunity to introduce a new Walt Disney World resort that celebrated itself. This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your trip planning needs. That's the greatest way to support the show. Just get a great travel agent to take care of you from the time you decide to go on your Disney vacation until the time you get home. All the details over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's a free way to support the show, and it only takes one extra click. Just start by clicking through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow all this podcasting to happen all around the world four times a week. It's truly because of your support. Our patrons also get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday night, or happy Thursday if you're listening here on the feed. Welcome to the BOGP Open Line for Sunday night, August 8th, 2021. This is the show where we turn it over to you, the listener, and we take your calls for the next hour talking about all things Disney. And as you know, there are quite a few things going on down at Walt Disney World right now that we can talk about. So if you want to jump in here in just a second, the phone lines are going to be open in about 5 minutes at 407-413-9395. 407-413-9395. Give us a call. Let's talk Disney over the next hour. But before we do that, we got to get my co-host introduced here as we get together. It's you, me, and Scotty G. So let's get him in here from up in the mitten. Your friend and mine, hashtag Scotty G. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mike. Happy to be here as always, chatting with you and the listeners on a Sunday. Hope you had an awesome week.
Yep, it was a good week and a good weekend, and hot again here in the Midwest, but raining right now, storming, so that's kind of good. Our grass, this time of year, I don't know how it is up in Michigan, but everything's starting to get the brown. You know, like it just doesn't rain and it's getting fallish already.
Yeah, my yard is very brown and very weedy.
I know. I was going to cut the grass today. Weeds. I was going to cut the grass today, or the weeds, or whatever you have, but it started raining, bailed me out. So there you go. Can't go out there. So let's talk about the news here, and then we're going to take your calls. So I want to make sure we have time to get everybody in tonight. So let's go to themouseforless.com to the news and see what has kind of jumped out at us since we last met last Sunday night. And as I look over here, Ricky has written some articles. Hall of Presidents back open, and Joe Biden in the House. Pretty cool. It's back up because actually this came open a lot quicker than I thought. And I think, you know, with all the political turmoil that's been going on over the last few years, you know, I'm sure Disney, this is the one thing I'm sure they're not in a huge hurry to get back open, but they, I think they did it the right way, right? They just kind of popped it open, I think, like on a Tuesday afternoon. We're not going to put out a press release. We're not going to even, boom, it's open. Man. Come on in. Yeah, exactly. I think that's how they wanted it, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm happy to see that. That's the one attraction that I have not done at Magic Kingdom.
Right. I know. I do everything. And it's actually, there's a lot of good history in it. So it's basically kind of like American Adventure Light. So I enjoy it. All right. So let's see. The next one. This one was kind of burning up the airwaves last week. Annual passes back on sale for Walt Disney World. But no date, no details. How about this? Is like
it's Run Disney.
And so I was just gonna say it's the Run Disney person just taking over the whole account now. So what are your thoughts on this? What do you think's gonna happen?
I don't know, man. Because I know Disneyland kind of has their annual passes now, and they made some changes there. Do they do something similar? I don't think so. I think it's just gonna be how it's always been. But the pricing just might be kind of crazy.
Let me ask you this, because you do go to Disneyland, and I want to get out there now that it's back open once things kind of stabilize a little. That Magic Key program with different tiers. You know, Walt Disney World annual pass is kind of had tiers, you know, especially if you're like a Florida resident, you'd have blackout dates. You know, you could buy like water parks and in the theme parks. You could just get the four theme parks. Those kind of levels. But what did you think when you read the details of Magic Key? I mean, was it, I don't know, just what did you think?
I actually, Mike, I haven't even looked too closely.
Okay, I just wondering
what Disneyland is doing. So
what they're doing is basically
with the keys.
So they got like four levels, and you know, the highest level cost, and it wasn't extravagant because I thought Disneyland would want to kind of price people out to control the crowds, which I don't necessarily. I mean, they're not cheap, but I don't think they're doing. And you know, you kind of buy your way to the highest level. You have more theme park availability. At the lowest level, basically, you can only go like during the week, certain times of the year. No weekends, no holidays, no summer, stuff like that.
Gotcha. I mean, maybe that's what they just need to do right now. I hope it's something that doesn't stick, and definitely not something that they do at Walt Disney World. I mean, that I don't think that's going to fly over too well with their pass holders.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, like William, I know William's, he's located out on the West Coast here, William Heinrich, and he's, you know, $1,400 is pretty hefty.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about, though, a Walt Disney World annual pass is like $1,100, is it even that much? I don't know. I can't remember last time.
I don't know. See, I'm fortunate where I'm DVC, so I do that gold pass, which is, it's discounted with like the week of Christmas is blocked out. And I think like a couple of weeks around spring break are blocked out, which are dates that we usually don't go. So we always use that gold pass, and it's around, I don't even want to say the number, Mike, cause it might make, you ill, but it's like around 700, like a little less than 700.
Oh man. But you know what? I mean, I've always said DVC members who are bought in at the highest level should get, you know, I mean, Disney doesn't give a lot of like frequent flyer or like loyalty perks. And that, I mean, you know, as a lot of us know, back in the day when you bought into DVC, an annual pass was included with the price of the purchase.
Right.
How awesome would that be?
Oh, my God. How great. That would be so awesome.
Okay, everybody. So sorry about that. That's listening here on the feed. We lost internet connection and all kinds of goodness there here right in the middle of the conversation about the Magic Keys. So I guess that is Disney's way to say, move on, guys. Quit talking about the Magic Keys and go to the next story. So we will, so we can get to your phone calls. We did find out this week, though, some pricing on the Galactic Star Cruiser experience down at Walt Disney World that'll be adjacent to Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I don't know, Scott, did you check out the pricing on this staying a couple nights to have the experience at Star Cruiser?
Unlike the Magic Keys, yes. I definitely got some information on this one. And holy cow, I was blown away by that. Man, we could do a 7-night cruise, I feel like, for that same price.
That's the whole thing, right? I mean, this is, and that's kind of exactly the comparison I have. And that's how Disney has sold this, is that it's not going to be something where you look at, you know, like a typical Walt Disney World stay, like a 7-night stay. You go to the parks for this many days, you have this many meals, all-inclusive type thing, very immersive, but it's like a cruise. I mean, they call it the Galactic Star Cruiser. It's like a land-based cruise experience. Basically, you check in and you're just immersed until the time you leave the experience. They call it an ongoing, immersive, and interactive entertainment where choices determine your experience. Food and beverage on the Star Cruiser, excluding alcohol and specialty beverages, so you got to buy your own alcohol, and a quick service meal at Docking Bay 7 and other select locations in the Hollywood Studios are included. You get admission to Hollywood Studios for your excursion to Batu, valet parking, and an exclusive Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser data band, which
is valet parking in space.
All right, I know.
That's awesome.
You put your pod racer or something, but it's 2-night stay in a cabin or suite. You know,
what's tough about that for me too, Mike, is a 2-night stay is not really a 2-night stay. If you think about cruising, like, when are you going to be able to board? You know, is it going to be like after 2:00 in the afternoon? So like your first night is really cut short. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously 2 nights. It is like the cruise, right? The first day of the cruise, you're on the ship at noon, but it feels like, you know, that first 5 hours is gone. You're at dinner. And then all of a sudden you're at day two before you even know it. The way I see this happening, because of its cost and because of the immersive nature of this, is that, say, check-in is at 2:00 in the afternoon. I would imagine like everybody is kind of in a pre-staged area at noon, and you're kind of just like, I would hope that they have a quick, you know, embarkation kind of procedure to get you in and get you going. Because, I mean, you know, if you break this down, this is kind of how I look at it, too, is like break it down price per hour. You don't want to waste an hour or two. I mean, you're talking hundreds of dollars an hour.
Yep. I mean, it sounds cool as heck, though. Like, I would love to do it. And who knows? Maybe I'll get a second job or something and pull some funds around to do it. But I saw someone in the chat and like they were spot on. Like, this is exactly the pricing that we thought it was going to be. This is kind of like where we were like saying all along, you know?
Yeah.
It's outrageous, but it's going to be a really cool experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's not any worse than I was expecting. I mean, because Disney's expensive. And the thing is, I'm glad that it's there because, you know, if this is your thing, I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm glad that, you know, if by some reason I come into some extra money at some point, I could have this experience. And with the two night kind of thing, that opens up a lot more slots because this place is not going to be big. It's going to be small and very immersive. So very hands-on, got to have a lot of cast to really make this go. So even if it was three or four nights, that cuts the capacity by half, you know? So with two night stays, more turnover, and we'll see how it goes. But those look cool. You're right. I mean, the thing is, you can't go, oh my gosh, instead of doing this, I could go to the Eastern Caribbean for seven nights.
Right. I wish I had something like in my backyard that people could pay to do like for $5,000 for two nights.
I know. Tell me about it. Well, I mean, and George is right. Down in San Antonio, he's like, you know, everybody who grew up Star Wars is going to want to figure out a way to try to do it. I mean, that's exactly it. I was born in 73. Star Wars came out in 77. I was four. I grew up with the movies. And I mean, trust me. I've been looking at this and trying to figure it out. I just, man, when you got kids, you know, it's really hard when you got kids trying to go to college and stuff. It's like, right. You know, that's a lot, but we'll
I see. Guess I could stop playing golf. That actually might cover it, Mike.
That's right. That's you cannot have another hobby. That's exactly it. I know. So
you
we'll
skip Run Disney 1 year and stop playing golf. And then you got it.
You know what? That could be a good trade-off, though. You know, you don't do the Run Disney races for a year. Say you do three or four races. Now that'd probably be about 3 or 4 years worth of races, but right. I couldn't do it. If I did it, I wouldn't train, and then that'd be just all kinds of bad stuff. So anyway, last story real quick. We got the announcement that they're booking the Mirrors Connect, which is basically Magical Express. And I don't know if you read about this, Scott, but it's got some interesting options that I know you're a car renter. You like to rent the car. Right. But again, it's sometimes when something goes away, and I know we're gonna have to pay for this, which is not good. I'm a cheapie, so I really like Magical Express. But this is more customizable. If you are looking for a certain different, you know, type of vacation, you can customize it. So did you look at this and see how you can kind of customize it?
I haven't. Do you have any further details on that?
Yeah. Or? So basically, they give you, you know, kind of the base program is, you know, you give them your flight information, you pay. I think it's coming out to about $20 because it depends on your resort and stuff.
Okay.
Basically, it's about $20-$25 round trip per adult, a little bit less per kid, depending. It's a little cheaper for some hotels, a little bit more expensive, but. Now that one can go to five different hotels, like Magical Express. So you might be the first, you might be the last. It's kind of a crapshoot. However, they have an option where you can pay extra and they will take you directly to your hotel, no stops. Like you're automatically in there, you just pay extra. So I mean
that.
I mean, for some people it's worth it, right? I mean, I don't know. Like I'd probably do the five stop thing and just roll the dice, but I don't know. I mean, that's called the standard option where you go to the five, the express option where you go to one. Let's see here. I'm trying to see if the express option says allows for direct service with limited to no wait time, which I wonder how that's going to work, though, because that sounds like that would almost have to be like a van instead of like a bus, because you're not going to run a bus. You're on a motor coach for six people or five people.
Bus.
I don't. That's got to be a van, I would say.
Yeah. I still think car rentals are going to be through the roof, and that worries me as someone that usually rents a car. Like, what's gonna happen there? Like, there are so many cars at MCO, so hopefully it'll be all right. But like, that's what I worry about a little bit.
We shall see. Yeah, I know everything's got a trickle effect. You're right. More, I've never rented a car, but I've thought about it when Magical Express ends. But this gives me an option to, you know, catch a motor coach.
It's finally to get this information though, because January is going to be here before we know it, or people are going to need to start booking that now for trips like in February and such, you know, right. In January.
Dude, so. The Winter Olympics are like 7 months away. Can you believe? I mean, we just had the closing ceremonies are starting right now on NBC for the Summer Games. The Winter Olympics are like 6, 7, 8 months away.
They're on the clock.
That is nuts. Anyway, all right, so let's open up the phone lines. 407-413-9395. 407-413-9395. Give us a call. We can talk about any of this or anything else that you would like to talk about. This is your show. We love talking to you, so please do give us a call. Darren is right in the live chat. He's saying that town car services would be comparable. We have found that exact same thing, though, when it comes to Disney Cruise Line transfers. I mean, we do private transfers every time.
Yep. I love them.
Because really, it comes out to about the same price. We got to kind of select. The thing about it going with private transfers for a cruise was that you get more customized. You can customize it better for what time you want to be picked up, what kind of vehicle. We've done a limo. We've done a party bus. And it, I don't know. It's
a little
bit more
fun.
Time
is the biggest thing. So
it is time. You're right. It's exactly
the first time we did a cruise with Disney transfers, and the only time because of how it went is it was for our first podcast cruise, which I think was 3.0. Our pickup time was like 1 p.m, you know, like we boarded and like it was almost time for dinner. Like it was a sailaway party, like, you know, like, so I like doing the custom where you say, pick me up at 9 a.m. because, you know, us, man, we like to be there first.
Right.
As early as possible for a ship or for a cruise. And so like when you're booking like with transfers like that, or if you're in a big group, like you can't control the time. So.
And that's really the biggest reason we always went with private transfers, is because we could almost guarantee we were one of the first people to show up at the port, which is what our goal was. You know, we want to be one of the first ones on the ship. And like you said, Disney Cruise Line, they usually pick you up around noon. So you're not going to be first on this. Now, the good news is there, if you're not this type of personality like us, you're going to just really walk onto the ship. That's the bonus. Like you're going to get to an empty cruise terminal. Basically, you're just going to walk up, do your check-in stuff through the ears, and you're on. I mean,
you didn't even have to mess with the porters either, because like it was like how the luggage worked, you know, when Magical Express used to happen. So I always like that too, right? Like you didn't even see your luggage, you know, you just walked on with whatever you had, and then you saw your luggage later that night, which is pretty awesome.
I miss cruising.
I know, right? I do too.
I might have something in the works. We'll have to see.
Oh, little tease.
Yeah, I can't say anything right now. Anyway, so let's see here. Let's get to some questions here in the live chat. We got a lot of folks in the live chat. Hey, call in though. We want to talk to you. And actually, I have one of those. What percentage of folks somebody gave me on Twitter I want to ask you about today? But Chad's asking, what are some of the best places to run when staying at Wilderness Lodge? Now, back in the day, that was a great place to run. I loved Wilderness Lodge, but you can't run the path to Fort Wilderness anymore. It's gone. So what would you say? If you're there, where are you going to run?
I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
I hate to
just
say.
Run around like the, kind of like what I do at the Polynesian. I just kind of run the like public walking paths that you like would take to like go to the pool or to, you know, like Geyser Point, and just try to find like a good loop there. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah, that's probably what you would have to do at Wilderness Lodge. You would have to just kind of like run the paths, you know, early in the morning before a lot of folks get up. And they do. I mean, I hate to say this. They have a gigantic parking lot out there that you could do, you know, to extend your lap, go around the perimeter of that parking lot.
That's the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I hated Animal Kingdom
Lodge. Run the parking lots between Kidani and Jumbo.
Right.
Back and forth.
I just remember one time I was there and this was years and years ago. It might have been Tower of Terror. It was like a fall race, maybe Wine and Dine. And I had to get on a long run. Maybe it was over the summer. Maybe it wasn't a race weekend. But I mean to tell you, I had to run like 10 miles. And I ran like back and forth from Kidani and Jumbo probably like 17 times or something. It was so dumb.
I believe it.
Dumb. Yeah, it wasn't good. But yeah, Wilderness Lodge used to be one of my favorite places to run, because you had that path that would take you over to Fort Wilderness. And you saw all kinds of wildlife. And not dangerous wildlife, just like deer and stuff. Okay. Yeah. All right. We have a call. Hey, who's joining us?
Hi, my name is Charles.
Hey, Charles, what's going on?
All right. I have a question for you. Could you tell me what's the difference between, like, saying renting a Disney vacation club for points and compared to staying on a Disney property?
Good question.
And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Sure thing. No problem. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So talking about renting DVC points versus booking through the Walt Disney Travel Company, basically. So Scott, you want to chime in on that? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, in ways that could save you money. So what happens when you rent points, you're renting from someone that owns DVC already. So you're not paying directly to whatever the rate is that Walt Disney World is offering. So, you know, say I have 100 points in DVC that I'm just not going to use this year. So instead of, you know, losing out on the money I've already spent on those 100 points, and if I can't bank those points to another year, I'm going to see if I can, you know, sell them to someone at a fixed price. So say we agree on, I don't know what the dollar would be, whatever, $10 a point or whatever for whatever you need. You can use like a third party oftentimes, or if you know someone that owns, you can do like a transaction directly, which I've done actually with our friend TJ, who's a VR guest lizard. Him and I traded some points 1 year, and it just works out pretty good. So the problem is, though, if you don't own DVC, that person the owner has to book that stay for you. So say if Mike really wanted to stay DVC, you know, I was like, hey, Mike, I got some extra points. Let's work out this deal. So I'm going to have to book the reservation for him, get Mike's information and all that. That's why I think you use a third party site a lot, where the third party, you know, is kind of covered for like sharing that information, but they book it for you. And then everything else from there is basically how any other stay would be. It's just, you have to go through a DVC owner to purchase it. And it's a good way to save money, though, because sometimes the rack rate at a deluxe resort might be really high certain times of the year. But if you can find someone that has DVC points, that could save you some money.
That's a good point. Now, there's a lot of third party brokers that take care of this kind of middleman transaction because, you know, back in the day before, because now there's kind of a rise of these third party companies that do these things. Yep. It was kind of a, like you said, it was almost like a peer to peer, like you said, with TJ, you know, it was like peer to peer thing, and you didn't necessarily know each other. So in some instances, it was kind of a faith thing because you would write a check maybe for $1,500, $2,000 to some other person, hoping that they take care of that reservation for you and get everything that you're expecting. And it was, you know, most of the times I always heard good stories, but I mean, I would, you know, time and time again hear that somebody kind of took somebody for a ride, which wasn't good.
I would rather use, if you're not dealing with anyone that you know personally that owns it, definitely use a third party site because they're going to be more liable. It's worth the extra $2. I don't know what they charge, like $2 a point maybe for that goes to the third party, but for that security, it's totally worth it, in my opinion.
Yep. And so, of course, you know, booking through Walt Disney Travel Company, the advantages there are you're in control of the reservation. This is when you work with a travel agent. Travel agents don't deal with DVC. We're not allowed to book DVC, obviously, because that's a separate company with Disney. We don't do rentals, DVC rental points, because, again, that's somebody else's property, basically. You know, we don't feel comfortable with that. So, you know, when you book through Walt Disney Travel Company, which is what travel agents sell like I do, you know, you have total control of your reservation. You get to take care of everything. You're going to get all those discounts that the travel agent can get you. So it's comfort level.
Yeah, it's a win-win for both. I mean, I definitely recommend the travel agency, you know, for getting you discounts. You know, you're going to have that person right there for you. But if there's like a particular room you're looking for, right, that's, I really want to stay in this one bedroom room that's DVC and it's $1,000 a night on Walt Disney World's website, but if I can work with the DVC person, there's pros and cons to both.
Absolutely.
But I definitely recommend the third party sites if you don't have someone directly. Because when it worked with me and TJ, we were both members. So like he actually called DVC and said, hey, here's Scott's DVC membership.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to transfer X amount of points over to him. And then 10 minutes later, they're in my account. You know, like that was easy, but it's a little different if one of you is not a member.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense because they have kind of a history of both of you. So they, that totally makes sense. All right. So we've got some other feedback here in the live chat. You could go over to the Contemporary and right now you mentioned, because we were there this summer and we did a tour of, speaking of DVC, we did the Bay Lake Tower. What was that, a two-bedroom that we looked at that day?
Yeah, we looked. I think it was a two-bedroom. Beautiful room, by the way. Really cool. That was awesome.
Apparently, you're not supposed to go down the balcony. We got yelled at for that.
And lightning storms. I think that's what it was, because it was lightning outside.
Get off the balcony. Anyway, yeah, taking selfies.
We never posted that selfie because we were too nervous.
I know, for real. We got a good shot, though, of, you know, from the balcony of the Bay Lake Tower. Anyway, so you mentioned, though, that you had run at Contemporary, which Contemporary would be a terrible place to run, but you thought it was nice.
So I thought it would be, too, but I stayed there over Thanksgiving / Elizabeth's birthday in 2020, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna give it a shot, let's see what I can find. And it was actually a cool route, and they have the best like jogging trail signs ever at the Contemporary. It's like jogging Mickey, you know, and like with an arrow pointing where to go. So I loved seeing Mickey all around the route, and you actually go across like Bay Lake during like a sunrise. It's gorgeous. I highly recommend it. Like there's some busy areas, but if you go early in the day, like most of us runners do, you're not going to see very many people out there. So besides other runners, so it's a great route.
Right. Chad just chimed in. He doesn't mind driving to get to somewhere to run during his vacation. The only issue I think that you, cause then I would say just go over to the Yacht Club, Beach Club or Boardwalk and run around Crescent Lake and down to the studios. That's a great run. But the problem is, you know, you might have a little bit of hassle trying to just get in with your car. You know, I mean, they should let you in if you're an on-site guest. I would think, you know, if you explain to them, let them scan your Magic Band. But again, they could think that you're trying to scam them to just park there and hop over to Epcot or something.
I kind of like this idea. Like, I might try it sometime too, because I know a couple resorts that might be easier to get into, like a Saratoga or Old Key West, and those are great resorts to run through too. Yeah. I love running through those resorts.
I would say Saratoga better than Old Key West. Old Key West is really pretty, but you're running on the kind of alongside the road a lot of the time. I mean, it's a big resort, so you get a lot of running in, but it's Saratoga.
There's more of a path at Saratoga, whereas Old Key West is like a lot of sidewalks and roads.
Yeah. Right. But God, they're both great places to run. They sure are. All right. So 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. I want to get this one to you because somebody was asking. Let me see if I can get this whole thread here. So Ben, who sent me a message about that Friday show we did talking about what percentage of guests do X. And he said he's got one for us he wanted to chime in on. So
I thought, man, it sounds like it's going to be a great one.
Well, he kind of throws his wife under the bus. No, he doesn't throw his wife under the bus, but his wife is the example. So he says, I was listening to some podcasts on my long drive today. Love the percentage game. I've got one for you. What percentage of people don't know there's fireworks at Disney? My wife went as a child around 20 years ago and didn't see one evening show, didn't even know there were fireworks. Now, we're in a really weird time right now where the fireworks just came back.
Right.
But, I mean, let's go back to, like, under normal circumstances.
Let's go to 2019. Yeah, we're living in 2019.
Exactly, right. Princess Weekend 2020. That was before the world changed. I mean, I can't believe anybody would not know that there's fireworks because they're in every commercial, but maybe you don't see the commercials. I don't know. What percentage of guests do you think don't even know there's fireworks?
It could be a good amount, right? Like, if you just think, if you're not staying on site, because I think most people that are staying on site know there's going to be fireworks because they're doing their homework, right?
Those people
that just do the one day Magic Kingdom ticket, they might not know there's going to be fireworks every night. They might think they're going to be there like on the weekend, but not every night. I think it's going to be still small. I'm going to go 9% don't know.
Yeah, I would say if I had to guess, I would say 4% don't know there's fireworks. I mean, because you would have to really kind of, you're right though. There are those guests that just go and think it's Six Flags, you know, like, but I mean, most Six Flags have fireworks, like our Six Flags has.
But like on the weekends usually.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Why I think they might just think it's the weekend thing, but you just said something that made me think, I don't know if you ever shared this on the show, but this would be a good one for like our Rudd Disney fans and percentages. Remember you were running Princess one year and like the fire, cause they do like fireworks, like kind of near the castle or like somewhere close by during Princess, the half marathon. And then someone said, like, to another runner, like, hey, I can't wait to run through the castle. And they're like, wait a second, we get to run through the castle? Like, who signs up for a Run Disney race and doesn't know that?
Well, I mean, I can see that more because here's the thing. With Run Disney, I think there's some people that are just runners that, like, you know, they're like, oh, I want to run a race in Florida. I want to run a race in Arizona. I want to run a race in Kansas, you know, just to have the experience. So I could maybe see where you didn't. But okay, I don't know. How do you not know you're going to run through the castle? I mean, that's like where everybody goes for. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I think some people it might be the opposite way too, where they think they're going to do the 10K and it goes through the castle, which is
That's even worse. Like, we're at mile five. Like, we're not even close to the castle. Like,
yeah, like we're like back at Epcot. Like, what's up with that?
Like, this is going to be a way long last mile here because I can't even see the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, that'd be totally sad. But it looks like most people come in around 5%. We had a high of 15 and a low of 1. So that's pretty good. Yeah, could you imagine, though, if you didn't know there were fireworks and you're staying on site, say, at a Wilderness Lodge, and you go to bed early and all of a sudden you hear all the fireworks, you're thinking, you're either thinking, wow, there's fireworks, or like you're thinking, we're under attack. Yeah. Something's going on.
Not to call out, there's someone, I won't even say, there's someone that works with my wife, like a higher up person that got to stay at Wilderness Lodge for a work event one year. And they complained about those fireworks. They were so mad that those are going off. Like, I'm trying to go to bed here.
You know what? So There have been times during, and I mean, I don't complain because like you're at Walt Disney World. I know what's going to happen, yeah. But when you're there for like dopey over marathon weekend and you are trying to go to bed like at 9 o'clock and you're staying at the boardwalk or something, I mean, yeah. You feel like they're shooting illuminations like off on your balcony. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's why I can't go to bed early marathon weekend.
It's like, forget, I have learned that over the years. That's one thing I've learned about races is like, you know, everybody always told me, oh, you know, get into your room like at 5 o'clock, start winding down, try to go to bed at like 7:30 to get a full, you know, X amount of hours. Thing is, it doesn't matter what time you get to your room because you're not going to sleep the night before your races anyway, whether you go to bed at 8 or 11. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I've kind of given up.
Yeah. I remember one year I took, I was without you. So I had all the girls. I had Pam, Paige, my girls, and we watched Illuminations. It was your first dopey. So I wasn't running the half the next day because I was only doing the marathon that year. And I just remember, like, we're watching Illuminations, like, oh, Mike's in bed, you know, relaxing. And, like, you weren't in bed relaxing.
Yeah, you
and
can't.
There we were having churros watching Illuminations.
Okay, yeah, that's I remember that. That was the time we got all the stuff off that cart. It was, like, the worst decision ever, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of fireworks and people not knowing about fireworks, have you ever been down there where they have shot off fireworks, like, unannounced? So speaking of Wilderness Lodge, I was down there for, I don't know if it was a media event or if I was just there with my family. I've only stayed at Wilderness Lodge like 2 or 3 times, but there was one time, it was after midnight and fireworks just started going off. And I mean, they were even more fireworks than Wishes at the time. I know. Cause I knew like how long Wishes went. It was crazy. And it was after midnight. Cause I got up. And I don't know whether they're doing like a test or they were doing a private event or something, but I mean, you know, they should almost tell you like if they're going to do something like that. Cause I mean, I rolled over and it was like 12:07 and it was just like, boom, whoa, whoa. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't like leave like a message in the room, you know, like sometimes you'll see that. Like when I say at Oki West for marathon weekend, every night there's a message saying like, gosh, since thank you for staying at Oki West. Just a reminder, there will be some fireworks going off at 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow due to the Run Disney event.
Oh, they didn't, surprised? See, I didn't know that.
They didn't do something like that.
Oh,
because
you're close there. I see. I've never even thought about that. Maybe what if they did like a Riverside and French Quarter?
Yeah, Riverside and Oki West, I think they always leave that message because you are like right at the start line almost when you're staying at those resorts.
Well, plus they do the fireworks like, you know, every 5 minutes. I guess the first ones are the big ones, but they do shoot some off.
For you like can probably hear the national anthem being played too.
You're like, oh my gosh, this place is hardcore.
You just like jump out of bed and you're like this.
This place, man, they're hardcore patriotic, man. It's like reveille. You got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and put your hand over your heart. Here comes the national anthem. We're starting the day.
Yeah. Have you ever been for any special like fireworks shows that weren't like the normal show outside of like a party? Because I remember I was at the DVC 25 and I live streamed it like because we thought at the time like this is going to be Wish's replacement. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and
I remember because you live streamed. I'm like, holy cow, dude, that was those the were coolest epic. Fireworks.
Those are some of the best fireworks I've ever seen.
And isn't that crazy though that they would do something like that and then I guess they shelved it
and never
I
mean, do anything with it.
It was
right?
so good.
I keep telling myself like I think I told this to Beth the other day. Like I want to watch that video to Happily Ever Afters and just see like if it's any similar. And I don't think it is. I totally think they did something different for Happily Ever After.
I think they did. Oh, Katie has a good point. Okay, Katie has a good point. And I've heard this too. Maybe this is it. But I'm pretty sure the weather was fine that night. She says if there's like a reason they can't shoot off the fireworks, I really heard this for Illuminations, right? Because they were on barges. They can't bring them back in loaded, right? They just got to...
Oh, yeah. They had to release them.
Yeah, because they even do, after Illuminations, they had like the burn-off or something they called it. I forget. Because all the propane gas in the tanks. But they have to shoot them off after the park closes. That could have been it. But it, you know what? I think I asked the next day because I'm the kind of person that would. I went like by the front desk. I'm like, okay. You know, totally like sound like I'm an 80-year-old dude. It was like after midnight. It sounded like we were getting bombed. What happened last night? I think they said it was a private event in the Magic.
Speaking of Illuminations burn-off, it always impressed me how they turned that show around on New Year's Eve. You know, they shoot Illuminations at 5 o'clock. It's super early. I mean, it's dark enough, you know. And then they turn, or maybe even be 6. I don't even remember. But then they turn it around and do a midnight showing. Like, how awesome is that turnaround time?
And I would have really liked to have seen, and I don't know what they're going to do in the, you know, the holidays coming up and, you know, the years to come now that Illuminations have been replaced. But just this is what I told people back home, you know, because, you know, why do you like seeing the fireworks at Epcot on New Year's Eve? I mean, I've been to fireworks like downtown St. Louis for the 4th of July growing up. We had something called the VP Fair and they'd shoot them off under the arch and they were huge fireworks. It was a big show. But I mean, we've been to, you know, seen Illuminations at New Year's Eve many times together. And the thing is, I just don't know how they physically can get that many fireworks in the air at the same time to where, I mean, like you feel it in your chest and I swear it feels like the ground's shaking. There's that.
Oh, much the ground is shaking for sure. No doubt.
It's unbelievable. That's a great show.
Those are some of my, there's nothing that beats that old Epcot Illumination New Year's Eve tag where they would do the fireworks from every country too. Like our friends in Great Britain brought in the new year. Like, oh my God.
Yes. Like, God, that was the best. It'd be like 9 hours ago. Yeah. Japan brought in 2020. Yay. And everybody goes great.
So cool.
Oh, they got him to still do that. And then Walter Cronkite with the holiday tag. Oh man. Oh, we gotta stop. I'm getting sad.
I know, man. We're going retro here. Like it's only like 3 years ago, but
oh my gosh, you're right. That feels like it was 30. And Diane's asking, so do you train to run while sleep deprived? You know what? There is something to that. Here's the thing. I see a lot of people because we've had marathon weekend signups. People are now starting their programs for marathon weekend. And I will say, I kind of got into this running every day thing because with Dopey, the key is, here's my key. You want to know my secret key to running Dopey? Be able to run on tired legs. You know, and the thing is, like, if you rest every other day and you go to do Dopey, you're not going to be used to running on tired legs. I run on continuously tired legs constantly, but I think that's a key. But I also think, you don't want to probably, have a terrible night's sleep because you're going to be in fits the night before you run Disney races. You just can't. I freak out because I'm always scared I'm going to oversleep. I can't sleep. But the thing is, I would simulate, maybe staying up till 11 o'clock and going for a run at, 5 o'clock the next morning.
Yep. I recommend just waking up early, just standing in your backyard for 2 hours before you go on the run.
When it's super cold. Yeah, exactly.
When it's super cold, like put a trash trash bag around you and just stay huddled up for 2 hours. Then you go for the run.
Yeah, and then chug a couple of bottles of water and then, wait like behind 17 people to go to the bathroom. That's how you train.
My
coach has always said you play how you train. So there.
My neighbor comes by like letting his dog out at 4:30 in the morning. Why are you just standing there, Scott? Like, oh, I got a couple more hours to go and then I can go for a run.
You're like, can you please sing the national anthem real quick for me?
So yes. And can you say, Scotty G, go. Yeah.
Runner set, go. Speaking of running, we have Marlessa on the line. Marlessa, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Happy Sunday.
We just gave you great tips on how to prepare for a half marathon in January.
Yeah, forget Jeff Galloway's method. This is the Mike and Scotty G method, how to get ready. Stand in your backyard.
I got to jot this down, yes. I don't have a backyard. I will have to borrow someone else's.
Okay,
backyard,
even better, stand in the middle of the street.
Stand in the park or something.
Yeah, I will just stand in the park and be like, guys, and if anyone asks, I'll say, don't worry. My friends told me this is the best way to train for a half marathon. Trust me, this is the way to do it.
And they are.
I'm going to say, oh, you're doing a Disney marathon. We get you.
Yeah. They'll be like, yes, those guys are sure. I'm sure they trained the guys in the Olympic marathon, which was awesome yesterday. Yeah, not quite. So what's on your mind?
Yeah. So one thing, definitely the news about the Star Wars, Star Cruiser hotel. It's hard because you guys know I'm a huge Star Wars fan and I think the price point, it didn't surprise me. I mean, that was about kind of what I expected, but it was still kind of, I don't know. I've been wrestling with it cause I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I would love to do it. I'm not going to run out to do it immediately. Maybe save money for like a special occasion, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how it's playing out, how it's going to play out and how it'll actually, go about. I mean, I know that even before the prices were announced, there were a lot of comparisons to cruise pricing of how, obviously you're, in this case, you're doing a specific storyline where it's for like two nights at a time, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how it'll play out. I was kind of surprised about the valet parking inclusion too. I was like, well, I'd rather them just add in a few cocktails and special right? Like milkshakes than I don't know, at least like maybe two a day or something. That would be a decent deal. Like I understand them maybe not wanting to do an open bar, open milkshake, because they mentioned specialty beverage too. So I'm thinking, I don't know, space milkshakes, whatever, anyone in the Star Wars universe likes to drink for a milkshake. But I don't know, are you guys, I know you talked about it a little bit, but are you guys contemplating trying to save up for it? How are you feeling about it?
I'll go first on this, Mike. So like, I love Star Wars, but like, I'm not like super duper where I know every single like side character and all that, but I do love the storyline of Star Wars, but, I kind of do want to do it, you know, like any new experience or new offering from Disney, like I really want to do like Adventures by Disney, you know, anything that they're offering, like, you know, I mean, you know us, like we're all in, right? But,
yeah,
man, that is a lot of coin for two nights. So it's just, and I always say, like, I don't know if Disney's ever going to price me out, but they may have priced me out on this. I just don't know yet, though.
And it's only going to get more expensive, I think. I think this is kind of the introductory pricing. I hate right? to say it because, I mean, we saw it in the chat. Folks are like, it's expensive, but it was what I was expecting, and this is the experience I've been wanting to have for 20 years, you know, for 30 years. So I don't think they're going to have any problem selling this thing out really quickly, and I think the prices only go up from there. So I think, you know, again, think about what Run Disney cost 10 years ago as compared to now, and it just went up and up and up, and we still pay it. Now, personally for me, I would like to do it, but I would like to do it with a group, kind of like we do with the cruises. Okay, so going on a cruise is fun.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'd much rather go on a cruise than do the Star Wars thing, though, because it's the real world, and I hate to say that, but I'd rather go to, like, the Caribbean than go to Batu. It's because it's a theme park. But here's the thing. If I were to do it and, like, say Scott's family was to do it, like, that'd be a hoot and a half. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're in our suits, you know, like we have lightsabers.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, now we're talking. Now I'd really be curious about doing it. But by myself, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I don't know. What
yeah,
about
I think
you?
I mean, a group to do it.
That'd be fun. But oh, I don't know if they're going to be able to accommodate something like that. I mean, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, because it's very limited rooms. I was going to say like 100 rooms. That's what I keep hearing. I'm not sure if that's the exact amount. But I also think, you know, obviously thinking also from the marketing perspective that, I mean, Disney's clearly using this to kind of test out this type of idea. Because right. with the new Avengers campus in Disneyland, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an Avengers type hotel as well with a similar idea. It also, like, just during my runs this week, I was kind of thinking, and this could be a fun question that I was thinking of, if you guys, not to put you on the spot, but if you have a fun idea of, like, what would be your ideal immersive hotel experience? Like, it could be Disney, it could be non-Disney, so, like, but if someone was saying, hey, I'm gonna have this immersive hotel experience that's just for Scott Gardner or Mike Rallman, like it's your ideal experience. Like what do you think would appeal to you specifically? Or even if you would rather answer like what you think would be a great Disney add-on, that, you know, either way.
Well, see, Disney IP, Star Wars is it. I mean, there's nothing greater than Star Wars because that is the one film franchise that I've loved my whole life. I'm not a film person, but I could watch any Star Wars movie, any of the like main movies. And I don't need the spinoffs and stuff like that, but yeah, Star Wars is it. I mean, other than like, I would love to have some kind of a like old, almost like you go back into like Field of Dreams kind of hotel where it's like a baseball lore yeah. kind of thing. And you're immersed in that. That would be kind of out there though. Cause Disney doesn't own that. I would really like that, you know, where you go back and you see Shoeless Joe Jackson or Stan Musial or, you know, Mickey Mantle, stuff like that. But, yeah,
I feel like they could have done this with Toy Story too. Like, cause Toy Story is right there in the studios. Like that could be kind of fun. If you're like, you walk into your room and your room is like Andy's room or something with like the toys around. I mean, that'd be a giant room, but because we're not toy size, but
I think though, more or less, I think you're onto something though, because if you think about the logistics of this whole thing, think about the size, the physical footprint of the Galactic Star Cruiser. It's tiny. Like, it's not on a big piece of land, yet it's going to be very technologically advanced. So, like you're saying, if they wanted to throw a Marvel-type experience somewhere, you know, you're not talking about the chunk of land like a Grand Floridian would take or a Coronado Springs. You're talking about a little pad that might have been the size of, like, a mini-land in a theme park. Instead of developing a mini-land outside of an existing theme park, bam, you pop down this hotel, and I'm sure the return on investment's way greater on something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think there's quite a few things they could do. I mean, the Marvel one probably seems obvious because of the Avengers campus, but even, I mean, they've had so much luck over the years with like the Disney Princess franchise. So, I mean, I'm still surprised personally there hasn't been just like a Disney Princess team up movie of some sort. I mean, we got like scenes of it in Ralph Breaks the Internet, but like a Disney Princess hotel with like multiple you know, the Disney princesses, I think would be great. And I mean, I think there's a way to make it appeal to, you know, all all kids and all like adults as well. You know, it could be more about the lands, right? Like Under the Sea with Ariel versus Agrabah, et cetera. So, so I think, I think there's a lot of potential with it for sure. I mean, for non-Disney, I mean, I love sitcoms. I'd be happy in like a sitcom themed hotel. Like give me like a Frasier room, a Friends room, a MASH room, right? All that stuff.
I was thinking like that too. Like, I don't think you could do like a Friends based like hotel, but if you put like a Seinfeld room in there or a Friends room, like how awesome would that be? That would be so sweet.
That'd be amazing. I've been loving the recent like sitcom references on the podcast, Mike. Like you did I meant to tell you, you did like a MASH reference 2 weeks ago. I was so happy.
That's what I was going to say. Because you're an Alton Alda fan. You need a little MASH hotel. It'd be kind of depressing, but it'd be kind of fun too. You know, you're Hawkeye today.
Yeah.
You know, you're Radar.
Yes. Yes. Well, not, we wouldn't go into the surgical like scenario. We would just like hang out, drink martinis, and that would be the part of MASH that we would.
Right. They
say
you're just like, bringing all these sitcoms together and you're like assigned a role. So I enter and like, I'm Bob Newhart for this day or whatever.
That'd be awesome.
I'll be Radar and drink a grape knee high, which I don't even know what that is, but I know it's kind of soda. So there you go.
I'm going to set an appointment with you, Radar, to kind of talk things through, see how you're doing.
Oh, you know, no, a Love Boat hotel. Oh, dude, because everybody's just making cameos. Like when you're a guest there, actually you're there looking for love. Like, you know, you've just come off of a bad, you know, divorce or something, or, you know, like you just couldn't find the right person and. But then Charo's there, you know, and everything works out.
We're missing the big one, though.
I
like
think we need
Company.
A Love Boat-themed cruise. I mean.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun. Yeah, no, yeah, Three's Company. You know, we have the Regal Beagle down there.
Yeah.
You know, Larry and Jack are dishing out the latest, you know, advice. That'd be great.
You and I are Larry and Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. No,
see,
you
there's
know,
so
you know,
many options
oh, yeah.
here.
Well, apparently Ricky went to the Friends Hotel this weekend. She was posting stuff on Instagram. She got to sit on the couch.
I loved her pictures.
Yeah.
Well, I loved her pictures. And I love the like brief debate that Pam and Ricky were having about Ross and Rachel. I'm on Pam's side with that. I don't know what Scott's saying is, but like I've written blog posts about why I wouldn't want Ross and Rachel to end up together. So I'm very much Tam like, yes, Pam, that's right. Not end up together.
See, I don't know. I mean, I just watch it casually. Let me ask you this, though, because Sarah's got a great point here in the live chat and getting it back to Disney, is that why isn't there a Muppets hotel? You know what I'm saying? Like, Disney has this Muppets franchise that it seems like it's, like, real hot and cold. Like, okay, we're going to do this with Muppets there for, like, 2 or 3 years, and then they back off, it seems, for, like, 5 to 7 years, then they might bring it back out again. But, I mean, so, Scott, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, think about the all-star hotels. You know, you got all-star movies, all-star sports, all-star music. I mean, in that same vein, I mean, a Muppets hotel, would that not be a seller? Maybe.
That'd be so awesome.
I mean, but it's like people our age grew up with the Muppets. Then there's kids like
what
Muppet
I
babies.
Never understood, and this is why I always thought like the Disneyland hotel was going to be when I stayed out in Anaheim. It's like, why isn't there like a Walt Disney World hotel that's just themed to like theme like. There's like a Tomorrowland section where you go into the room and it's like space, you know, or like there's a Fantasyland section, you know, like we need something like that at Walt Disney World. Like I would just go nuts over staying at that hotel. And if they had the big icons, like the values do, like I'm cool with that too. There can be like a huge teacup, like somewhere around. Like, I think that'd be so awesome.
Do you think for something like that, though, Marlis, real quick, do you think something like that though is. Yeah. Maybe say a decade ago, they didn't think there were enough hardcore Disney fans that would want to sell it, you know, because it's very meta, right? Like to have a hotel that's based on the resort, you know, like, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, celebrating itself. But I think, you know, I mean, just look at how many Disney podcasts there are, blogs, vlogs, you know, there's everything in the fandom. It'd be a hit. I mean, I think even casual people would like, you know, they know what Tomorrowland is or Fantasyland. I don't know. I think Scott's on something here.
Yeah, I really, like similar to what Scott said, I've always longed for that type of hotel too. And I think especially with the 50th anniversary coming up, I'm hoping that, I mean, not that I don't appreciate what they've already announced, but I'm also hoping to see more for that, you know, really huge Disney fan. Because I think that, you know, like the merchandise, you know, and some of the things they've announced, I think like that can kind of be for anybody, but it would be great to see like, again, like, and we may have talked about this on another show, but like merchandise that's from older rides that aren't there anymore, or it would be so awesome if for like a few nights as a surprise. And even if I it's not there while I'm there, I would still be grateful. Like, oh, hey, let's bring out Spectre Magic or like, or something like that. You know, like just something that you've been missing. And I mean, I'm kind of almost hoping slash expecting that the fireworks shows will maybe feature Walt's voice or something, like just something like for us to, you know, that the really big Disney fans will appreciate. Because while I'm sure there's a chance that there are people maybe going for their first trip and maybe don't realize there's this huge celebration, I mean, they have to know that so many people are going because we're huge hardcore Disney fans. We want to be immersed in this, even if we don't get to ride our favorite rides on the 50th, we just want to be there. So I hope that they, you know, appreciate that and kind of, you know, give us certain merchandise and certain experiences that cater to that. Because the type of resort that Scott's talking about, I think, does a great job of appealing to both. And I think that the best type of, you know, marketing strategies or merchandise that Disney does appeal to both the casual fan and the hardcore fan. Because, yeah, I mean, a resort with a teacup or a people mover type way to, I don't know, get you around the resort, I don't know, would be awesome for the casual fan. But then the major fans are like, oh yeah, like this is just like this thing back in, like, so yeah, I think that would be awesome. And I
instead
can't
of elevators,
that
they
now,
use like the
really
Soarin' fun. Ride technology to take you to like the fourth floor of your hotel.
So they're used. I don't even know if this website's still around. It was like 10 years ago. It was called Yesterland, and it showed all the extinct Disney attractions. Period. I mean, how cool would that be for like a resort theming? You know, like you have a 20,000 leagues little section. You know, just major things, but you could have tributes and because I mean, think about all the artifacts they just throw away. You know, you could use those as props. That'd be so cool.
It's like a museum hotel.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like a museum of like, you know, Disney theme park history. That'd be so, oh my God, that'd be so cool. I'd be there for sure.
Yeah.
That'd be a deluxe.
But Marlos, I totally think there's going to be some Walt narration in like whatever this fireworks show is going to be. Like I can just, because Disneyland Forever kind of had it too. Like I could see like them throwing in like that, the blessing of size quote, you know, from the TV show or something like that. Like there's definitely going to be Walt and I'm definitely going to be crying.
Oh yes, I'll bring extra tissues.
Yes,
don't worry.
Please.
I got it.
Yeah, it's
good. I'm kind of banking on that. Like I understand why like the first few commercials have really been on hyping up the new stuff because I get that they want to draw in guests. They want people to be excited that hey, there's new fireworks. Hey, there's I don't know new outfits for the Fab Five. But I'm hoping that as we get closer, or maybe it'll be a complete surprise, but there'll be more experiences and merchandise that speak to the history of Walt Disney World, because that's really what we're there to honor, right? Like maybe stuff with Roy Disney too, because like he really like pulled that together to make sure that, you know, it was in his brother's vision as close as it could be and really honored that. Like I want to see all that history stuff, so I'm excited.
Yeah, our Six Flags did that with because it was their 50th this year too, and they took their main theater and just put artifacts, old uniforms, old, you know, maps from the park, old attraction vehicles. It was awesome. You know, I never went to Six Flags, but I saw it. They posted it all on Instagram, so I just looked at it that way. But because I just didn't ever get out there, but I should have. But all right, Marlos, we got to run. So I'm going to try to get this one more caller in who's trying to get in, and we're up against the top of the hour. But we'll talk to you next Sunday. Great thoughts.
Sounds good.
You got me dreaming all night. All right, thanks. Talk to you later, Marlos.
Perfect.
I want that hotel.
I do too.
Oh my God.
Let's make it happen.
Okay, let's get here. All right, we have our final call of the night. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, Mike, it's Fulton.
Hey,
how are you
Fulton,
doing?
What's going on? It's going well. How are you?
Nothing much. Just been going hiking today.
Oh, my gosh. So you guys it was hot here. It was probably hot in Indiana. Weren't you burning up?
It's hot here, too. I mean, it's like 90 degrees here.
You're a better man than I was. I ran on the treadmill and stayed inside today. Too hot.
Exactly.
Nice.
Mike, did you get my email?
I did not. Who'd you send it to? Make sure you send it to Mike@brguestpodcast.com. I did not.
Okay, I would try to get that in.
Try it tonight or tomorrow. I'll be looking for it.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
All right, so let me ask you this. How are you a Star Wars fan?
Okay. I am.
Do you want to stay at the Galactic Star Cruiser, the new hotel that's all Star Wars?
I could try in the future.
Same here. I'm going to try. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it'll be a goal. If I ever stay there, I'll freak out.
Yeah, because you have to wear a mask and all the other stuff. And
it's too expensive for my blood right now, so we'll have to see. If I win the lottery, exactly, I'll definitely. Yes. When I win the lottery, we'll all go. How about that? I said it right here on the show.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, it's recorded, Mike.
It is. I got it here on the show, August 8th. Well, I'll remember. I don't play the lottery, though, so the odds are pretty poor.
Just yeah, play number
we'll
eight,
go
it's
to
eight,
the
eight.
Gas station to win that lottery, Mike.
That's right. I'll have to go up to 7-Eleven. All right, Fulton. Well, hey, Fulton, so you got anything else on your mind?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. Well, hey, buddy, thanks for calling us, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right.
All right, take care, buddy. Good talking to you.
Have a good week.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, Scott, final thoughts.
If I
recall
last Sunday, Fulton had like the barbecue going on.
He did. Now he went hiking. He's like the outdoorsman. And I'm like the right. biggest wimp because I looked down and said, heat index 99. I was like, Riley, you're not going for a walk this afternoon. Sorry, kid. I'm not going outside.
I think that dog would appreciate it, though, too. Like, I mean, the ground could be super hot.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. So, God, now I'm really thinking about all these hotels that could be, that never will be.
Barbossa got us thinking, man.
Yeah, totally, totally. I know today's show is kind of different. We lost a connection there in the middle, but we hopefully you enjoyed the show here on the feed. And thanks to everybody who joined us live here on Facebook. We sure appreciate it. Don't forget, we'll be back together again next Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, taking your calls and talking Disney. And, you know, we'll talk about all the news of the week and maybe have an announcement next Sunday night. We'll see. I have to tease that. Maybe. I hope. Cross my fingers. I got something in the works. You're staring right at it, by the way. Anyway. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click really does help us out. So just click through there if you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put out this show four times a week all around the world. It's because of you, our patrons, that allow us to get this done. And our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. And that's a bonus show. And you can subscribe to it. It goes right to your podcatcher, just like the rest of the shows. It's a lot of fun, I think. And this past week, I don't know, Scott, if you got a chance to listen to this one, but I talked about that wrestler. She's a freestyle wrestler from Texas who won the gold medal. And I was just so excited because I mean, you talk about two things in the Olympics. It was seeing her being so excited to win a medal, not only for herself, but for the United States. And also those two high jumpers. High jumping is like the weirdest event ever. Like, I don't know
Dude,
how
that
people
is so
run.
Weird, isn't
they
it?
Run horizontally and then somehow they force their body to go up high enough to go over a soccer goal, which is crazy. Yeah. But those two guys that they split the gold medal. Like, I mean, that is what the Olympics is about. I talked about that on Thursday, but I don't know. Do
you talk about us training for synchronized diving for the next one?
Yes. No, real quick though, did you have any highlights from the Olympics? Anything that stood out, the stuff you got to watch?
I didn't see much of it, unfortunately, this year. Just proud of all the athletes for every country. Like, the Olympics really bring everyone together, which is something that we really needed after the last year we had. So couldn't have had better timing, and I'm happy. Like you said earlier in the show, Winter Olympics are on the clock, like 7 months to go, baby.
And that's kind of I love Summer Olympics. Obviously, I think most people think Summer Olympics, and I think Olympics because track and field and gymnastics and stuff. But, you know, I was a speed skater, so I always enjoy speed skating, even though short track's my thing. And that's like it's so dangerous. It's so crazy on that 110-meter track. So, Rhonda Lee, second week in a row, reminding everybody that the Canadian women did win gold in soccer. Yes, you did. Good job. I like that, though. That's what it's all about, right? I love that you could celebrate your victories. That's great. And you guys, I'm sure Canada's looking forward to the Winter Olympics. So it was like, come on, Olympics.
I'm sure Jamaica's looking forward to getting that bobsled team back.
Yeah,
too.
They need to do that again. I don't think they've done that for a little bit. But that was – now I got to go watch Cool Runnings. Now I got a lot to do tonight. Anyway, so you can check out Scott. He's at @EpScott on Twitter and Instagram, also at Palm Trees of Disney. You can catch me at BRGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. And we sure love to talk to you. So until we get together next Sunday night, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.